Support for this podcast comes from Big Sun Solar, committed to helping businesses strive towards energy independence and conservation. Solar is a great way for businesses to lower their carbon footprint. More at BigSunSolar.com/TPR.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas Republican lawmakers are voting in favor of multiple bills that would bring major changes to the lives of gay and transgender Texans. GOP lawmakers have filed bills that would restrict when sexuality and gender identity can be talked about in schools, when people can perform in drag, and what kind of health care is available to transgender children. And that's not all. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has made it a Senate priority for him to pass all these LGBTQ bills. And so far, he's been successful in passing all of them out of the Senate. And if these bills are going to be stopped, then it's going to have to be done in the Texas House, which is Republican controlled. But it might also be reluctant to pass these bills if it becomes clear that most Texans don't want these bills, they are bad for business in Texas, and this could cost them seats in future elections. But at the same time, Governor Greg Abbott is demanding that these bills be passed so he can sign them into law as part of his campaign to beat the so-called woke agenda. To tell us more about these bills, what is happening, what can be done, we're joined by Ricardo Martinez, the CEO of Equality Texas. And Ricardo Martinez, welcome to The Source.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So it seems like that there is a call being issued right now telling Texans who are not comfortable with these bills, who see them as negative for themselves, for their friends, neighbors, loved ones, and just for this Texas community, it's like, well, you got to do something. What's happening right now?
Well, what's happening broadly is that there were 140 bills that were anti-LGBTQ bills that were introduced this year at the Texas Capitol. And that is not a normal amount by any means. It is nearly double what we experienced in 2021, which was an incredible escalation in terms of the attacks that we have seen here in Texas. Normally, just to compare it with 2019, 2017, we typically hear between a handful of bills, right? And about 10 to 20 get filed every session. And then we hit 2021 where 76 anti-LGBTQ bills were filed, one of which passed HB 25, which was a K-12 sports ban. That also was not normal. And it lasted over the course of a year, right? We have to remember 2021, we had the regular session plus the three special sessions, and now here in 2023, during the regular session, we've had 140 anti-LGBTQ bills filed. So this is not normal. This is an escalation, a targeted attack, a package of bills that is frankly designed to dehumanize LGBTQ people and erode the support that we have gained over the last 50 years.
The number to call in if you've got a question or a comment, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can tweet at us at TPR-SOURCE, send an email to thesource@tpr.org. You can also text us at that number, 833-877-8255. So, Ricardo, before we had things like the bathroom bill, which got stopped in the Texas House, but we had Speaker Joe Strauss, who seemed like he was... He recognized that this was not good for Texas, and so he was able to block the passage. Do we have that now? Is Speaker Phelan going to be Joe Strauss?
I mean, that's a difficult question, right? I think I go by actions and words, and I know that Speaker Phelan has said in the past that he is done attacking LGBTQ folks. And so I hope that stands true. But frankly, you know, our power has never come from institutions or specific people. Our power has come from the people of Texas. And we know that 70% of Texans believe that discrimination against our community is wrong. And it's really important for that 70% to be extra loud, right? Because I think we forget that we have a tremendous amount of power as individuals to moderate folks and their behavior at the Capitol. So if we really are truly outraged, and I hope that people are, in recognizing that 140 bills here in Texas is a record that is not only here in Texas, but in American history.
And it passed also stopping the bathroom bill. And I hate calling it the bathroom bill. It was such a wrong name for that, the discriminatory bill. But that's what we got. There was a lot of action with businesses and people saying they were going to boycott Texas and this was bad for Texas. And are we still hearing that now? Because it seems like every state is doing stuff like this. Florida, of course, is doing this as well. Does that tactic still apply?
That's a good question. You know, the landscape has shifted significantly since then, right, to maybe a little bit more extreme and volatile. When you think about Florida and the way that they have used Disney as an example, I can see why people would have businesses may have apprehension of being kind of the first people out there, right? But what I do know is from my experience down at the Capitol, I'm there every single day. And I know that businesses are still meeting with lawmakers. They might be doing it more strategically behind the scenes, but that work continues. Texas Competes, the business coalition that supports LGBTQ folks, Texans, has about 1,500 businesses who have joined that coalition. And I think they continue to do the work. They have a managing director who's under the dome every single day. There are a lot of things that people can't necessarily see, but that work is happening, and hopefully there'll be a moment that, you know, support will be highly visible. But as of now, the work continues.
Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. Corey is on the line, and Corey, you're hot on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say I've lived in Texas for 38 years, moved here when I was 6 months old with my parents from California, and I'm a gay person, and I was elated to get my marriage certificate when the Obergefell ruling allowed me to do so here in Bexar County. And I, you know, think of Texas as my home. It's just, you know, appalling to me and scary, you know, this latest wave of legislation that's being considered right now, that, you know, I may have to leave. My mom is a lesbian, and, you know, we've other LGBTQ members in our family, and we're all having this conversation actively right now. Like, do we have to flee this state because it's become so hostile to us that we can't be comfortable or safe here in our home anymore? That's all.
Well, Corey, that makes me sad to hear that, but I understand it. Ricardo Martinez, CEO of Equality Texas, are you hearing other people expressing the same concern from, like, Corey?
Yeah, number one, Corey, look, I my heart breaks every single time I hear that story, right? And unfortunately, it's not uncommon, or as uncommon as I would hope. You know, folks, Texans deserve to live in Texas and thrive in Texas, and to navigate life without fear, and knowing Corey's story and seeing the parallels that I hear from parents, from community members, from LGBTQ young people. I mean, people are scared, right? But this is our state. I always tell people, you have to create the plan that's going to keep you most safe. Do I want LGBTQ folks and our families to remain in Texas? Absolutely. And we're going to do everything in our power here to stop all of these bad bills from happening. But the bottom line here is that the discussion is what is fueling a lot of the stigma, bias, and discrimination that we're seeing every day, right? We get calls as the largest statewide organization that champions LGBTQ equality here in Texas. We get heartbreaking calls about bullying, harassment in schools, things that escalate to physical assault in schools, discrimination that's happening because teachers are out and proud to be who they are. And this is a really layered attack that we're experiencing here in Texas. So I get it. I understand it. I don't want LGBTQ Texans to leave, but I am a big proponent, and they shouldn't have to leave, but people need to be safe.
Let's go to another caller. We have Dash, and Dash, you're hot on the air. Go for it.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I would like to say, if there's going to be laws passed to restrict drag shows and the like, then perhaps, you know, they should also be looking into preventing Bud Light girls or Miller Light girls at regular, you know, let's say city parades or Twin Peaks and Hooters. Those should also be adult-only establishments. It shouldn't only be LGBTQ venues. That would be my comment.
Well, Dash, thank you for that. So the hypocrisy when we talk about the sexual indoctrination, and can you respond to that, Ricardo?
You know, drag shows are a celebration of joy, creativity, love. These are values that are important to instill in all people, including kids. But despite those claims that all drag shows are risque in nature, drag is a diverse art form with many themes, and we should trust parents, not politicians, to make good choices around activities for their kids. And that is, you know, trust that they put on parents that are not going to drag shows, right? As Dash spoke about. And I talk about this invisible asterisk all the time, right? You see folks at the Capitol who are pushing parental rights, who are pushing, you know, small government, but that just doesn't extend to us. And we're, again, going to continue to fight to make sure that our safe spaces are protected.
All right, let's take a break. Our phone lines are open. We're talking about anti-LGBTQ bills in the legislature. When we come back, I want to drill down, get some specifics into some of these bills and what they would do, how they could cause harm in Texas. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We do want to hear your questions and comments, so please chime in. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about a number of bills that are that passed out of the Senate. They're going to the House. They could become law that are anti-LGBTQ. We've got a question or a comment, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Ricardo Martinez is with us. He's the CEO of Equality Texas. So we have a Don't Say Gay Trans bill, SB 1072, authored by Senator Hughes of East Texas. It says that this was passed out of the Senate. So this would prevent being able to talk about these issues in school, or who's impacted by this?
It's a good question. So yes, this bill is broadly written and has some provisions that mirror a lot of the copycat Don't Say Gay, Don't Say Trans bills that we're seeing across the country, right? It's identical to a few and has broad similarities to 100% of the ones that we've compared it to, and that's about 25 of them. The impact, let me just step back for a second. We know the four things that make school feel safe for all students, including LGBTQ folks. That's the existence of GSA clubs, student clubs, inclusive curriculum, supportive adults, and enumerated anti-bullying policies. This bill would strip the majority of those things. It would stop supportive adults from having honest conversations with young people about who they are, affirming their identity. It would stop symbols of support. It would keep students from participating in GSAs. It's heartbreaking.
Kids have questions. Kids have a lot of questions because, you know, they see a lot online, and they have questions. They need some honest answers from people that they trust and who have their best interest at heart. And would this prevent them from finding those answers?
I think that the bill is written broadly enough that it would have a chilling effect on what how teachers could show up and what support that they could and couldn't provide. And I think that's incredibly challenging, especially for a profession that is being asked to do a lot and not necessarily compensated in the way that they deserve.
Now, there's SB 1601. This bill would defund municipal libraries for a full year if they host an event at which a man presenting as a woman or a woman presenting as a man reads a book or a story to a minor for entertainment. So this is, you know, attacking drag queen story time, and apparently that's a major concern. So how is this written? Is it, would this, what is it trying to do?
So let me give you something. Over the course of the last 50 years, we've seen anti-equality extremists use the same formula to attack us. And the formula is pretty easy. Number one, they take things about the lives of LGBTQ people that people, the general public, Americans, Texans, wouldn't necessarily understand. Take drag, for instance. They then fill that knowledge gap with disinformation, misinformation to sensationalize parts about the LGBTQ community that people don't necessarily know about, in hopes that that leads to hysteria. And then they use that manufactured hysteria to, as an excuse to legislate against us. But drag is not a dirty secret. You know, we have been celebrating drag and the art of drag for a very long time. When Robin Williams donned drag for the filming of Mrs. Doubtfire, the Motion Picture Association of America rated that PG. The same rating that most family-friendly Disney movies receive. And it wasn't relegated into porn shops or black markets because there is nothing inappropriate about drag. Far from it. In fact, the artistry of the makeup and the performances won several awards.
I don't understand this idea of, you know, presenting as a woman or a woman presenting as a man. And, you know, so does this mean that a woman has to wear a dress or... A man, I mean, how do we define and regulate and keep the, you know, how does that work? That's just bizarre.
I think the confusion is intentional, right? So that people, again, are, you have this chilling effect where people rather freeze and they don't know necessarily what to do or how they could be compliant, and so they avoid it altogether.
All right, so let's go to a caller, 833-877-8255. Gary, you're on the air. Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very concerned about this issue. My neighbors are LGBT. They're actively, actually right now, looking for a house in Colorado. We'll move out of the area. I'm just, you know, I don't know what to do about this. We just seem to be going in the wrong direction. And I can't believe this is the most important issue, not climate change, not education, not fixing the power grid. There are issues with enforcement. I mean, you know, are men no longer allowed to wear kilts? Will women have to wear skirts and can't wear pants because they're cross-dressing? And up until the 50s, you know, or early 60s and that, women had to wear dresses, even the schools and that. So this just seems to be crazy. But anyway, appreciate it. I'll take your responses offline.
All right, Gary. So, Ricardo, one thing you can bring up, this is not a conservative politics getting into people's lives.
100%. I think, just going back to, I think, what Gary was trying to say, the role of government is to defend the freedoms and the rights of people, right, and to improve our lives. And yet some Texas lawmakers are wasting their time and energy attacking LGBTQ plus people. And look, we all have some say in deciding what is permissible in terms of how we treat each other. We're the friendship state, right? We are, at our core value as a state, we care about our neighbors. We want to take care and uplift each other. And this goes completely against true Texas values. And as hard as they try, you cannot change a person's identity by forcing them back into the closet. You can try to cut off healthcare. You can tax coffee shops and host drag shows and erase us from the classroom conversations, but that won't change who we are and how we are going to live. And that's going to be authentically and courageously.
Now, of course, there are bills that are going to target medical care for transitioning people and children who are interested in this area. What are they talking about? What do they want to do? What impact, what harm would that cause?
The medical care bans are dangerous and deadly attempts to deny transgender people the right to exist by preventing doctors and healthcare providers from providing the same life-saving care to trans adolescents and adults that is commonly provided to cisgender or non-transgender youth for their diagnoses. This care has proven to be life-saving. The last hearing for HB 1686, there were over 3,000 people that came to the Capitol to show their opposition against this bill versus 97 people who showed up to formally support. There were about 450 people who registered to testify, 400 of which did not get a chance to. Overwhelmingly, those 400 people were going to share their story about how this care was life-saving, life-changing, and helped them live authentically joyous lives. That to me is done with intention, with clear intention. When you have invited witnesses and prioritized witnesses, you can stack the deck to make it seem like folks are divided. But the reality is the people who showed up to really declare their outrage and to provide their own personal testimony and stories about how this care has been essential and life-saving and intentional.
Opposition to these bills seems to be galvanizing right now because it seems like now is the time or else they will become law and Texans will have to live with these new laws. But so businesses are being asked if this bothers you, if this is going to impact you, whether your ability to recruit and hire and retain your employees or doing business in Texas. They're asking businesses to stand up, let these lawmakers know how this is going to impact how Texas would be able to compete in the future. They want people to call your state lawmakers. It doesn't matter if you're a state lawmaker and you see eye to eye on every issue. Maybe this is the time where you can convince them, make a compelling case. I mean, so what are you telling the folks out there who say, I want to oppose this? How can they do that, Ricardo?
Yeah, there are a lot of ways that people can engage right now. We have 6 weeks, to your point, to really show up and in fierce opposition of what's happening at the legislature. And I know that Texas is a big state. There are a lot of folks who cannot come. It costs money to drive down here, right? It's resources, giving up a day of work. We understand it, and we try to make advocacy as accessible and tangible as possible. So you're right, sending out an email, making a phone call to your rep, and letting them know that you're vocally opposed against these anti-LGBTQ bills is important. So is showing up when you can, right? If you are able to come to the Capitol for either a hearing when bills hit the floor, people need to see that folks are paying attention. I would follow us on social media to receive the action alerts. Obviously, things happen very quickly here at the Capitol, especially when we're talking about the last 6 weeks of session. So Bill may move quickly, and we will need to rally and bring folks so that we can push back against these bills. We also, on our website at equalitytexas.org, you can submit testimony, written testimony. You can send emails directly. If you don't know where to begin, you can also email us at info@equalitytexas.org, and we can guide you through that process. That's what we do. We educate, we engage, and we mobilize folks on behalf and support of LGBTQ equality.
Ricardo Martinez is the CEO of Equality Texas. Ricardo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies, with production support from Kayla Padilla and Mark Hutchison. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. Support for The Source comes from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.